Well, hey there. Good morning, Ledge Rock Community Church, friends and family. It is so good to see you. I was just chatting with Chris. He's right there behind the camera for a moment, and I was chatting with him right before we went live about the joys of the rain and the lightning. And if you're not in Ely, we are getting some good weather right now. Good weather in that we've got some storms, some heavy rains that we have so desperately needed. And so we were chatting about the benefits of that, one for the ground and the blueberry crop and just our lakes and streams, getting them replenished, watering our grass and our plants, and some of you have planted trees, and we just need that water, that refreshing rain from the sky. We're thankful for it. But also on a Sunday morning, it happens to work well too, because you may not be out in the garden or out fishing or boating or doing whatever. You might be choosing to join us instead of doing something that you could have done with nice weather. And so thank you for that. I'm glad that you're here with us. Chris said that some of you, you know, mentioned some that had joined in and were signed in. So I just want to say hello and good morning. I missed you all last week as I was away for several days. It was a good little retreat out into the wilderness. And yes, I know the biggest question on all of your minds is, did you catch any smallmouth bass? And absolutely, God is good. Caught some big fish, some really good fish. I could tell you where I went, but then, you know, this whole relationship would be over, and we don't want that. So I won't tell you where we went, but I'll just let you know there was water involved, and a canoe and fishing rods and some giant smallmouth bass hitting on the surface. Life is good. God is good. Jesus is best. So thank you for your wondering how it went and checking up on me and my family while I was away and all that. You guys are truly amazing. And we're blessed to be here with you and to be serving together, and very much look forward to what God's going to do in the future. So again, thanks for joining us, and welcome to our live stream here at Ledge Rock. Stay tuned at the end of the service. We've got some big announcements, some very important information, but hopefully today is the final live stream only production. We will continue to live stream forever. We'll never stop that. For those of you that aren't here in Ely, you'll be able to join in every single Sunday, but starting next week again, we'll be able to meet in person. Again, stay tuned at the end of the service for lots more information about that. But let's get into today's message. Today's another recipe. It's a recipe for a real relationship, and that's not a misspelling on the screen, on the slide. And the picture, Chris made sure to put that in quotes so you knew, and I'll explain that throughout the day. But as I talk about being here in Ely and coming to Ely and being in ministry and pastoring a church family, one of the things that you have to know is that, boy, ministry in general, especially being a lead pastor somewhere, is a very lonely proposition. In fact, I had that conversation with Chris the day I met him to see where to park the camper that ultimately led to this whole thing of my family and I coming to serve here. One of the things I talked about and we talked about was the loneliness in ministry. It's a big deal for someone, for a man of God, to pack up and move his family away from friends and other family, from all that you know, to move to a new location to serve in ministry there. Just know that it's a lonely thing. And you guys have done a fantastic job of welcoming us and greeting us and opening up your lives and your homes to my family and I, and we're super grateful. So know that this is certainly not a complaint, although keep it up. We love it. We want to get to know more of you. So don't feel like, oh, a couple people have had them over, we're good, you know. Keep that up. But so again, know that this isn't a complaint. It's just a reality that ministry is lonely. It brings on loneliness. And then here in Ely, throw in this whole Corona COVID-19 shutdown thing. So suddenly we're getting to know each other. The ball is rolling. Attendance is climbing. Excitement and growth and lots of cool things happening. And then suddenly, oh, got to stay home. no more public gathering and all of that. And it's just like life stopped, and all the fellowship and the growth and getting to know each other, building relationships, just stopped. And suddenly we're afraid to be together and shouldn't be together, and what might happen if we're together. And so all the complications. Well, I want you to know, in loneliness brought on by ministry, one of the things that I've typically done is very much turn to God, turn to the Lord and increase my relationship with Him. And sometimes that means diving into some deep Bible study, really growing in theology and doctrine. And so some years ago, I was able to go to Israel and tour Israel on a biblical tour, and it was neat. While I was there, I was able to uncover some ancient writings, and I'll show you this here, some great ancient writings that have a lot of value. And so it pertains to John 3:16, and perhaps there'd been some mistranslation in the past. I feel like I've found an accurate translation for at least the beginning of John 3:16. Again, some ancient Hebrew writings that was only discovered and unearthed through some deep archaeology there in the Holy Lands. If you can read that, you'll see what I believe is one of the greatest attributes, the proof of God's love, is that He so loved us that He gave us fishing. Okay, maybe I stretched it just a little bit on the whole, like, you know, deep Bible study and archaeology, whatever. But honestly, God, in His infinite wisdom, gave us creation among those being fish and the ability to go out and pursue those fish, to master them. And even better than that is doing that together. Fishing together. I think that all of us need relationships. We need fishing buddies. Now, some time ago, I had put out a plea to get to go fishing. Don't know much about this northern fishing. Only been here several times before we moved, and asked to go with some of you. And boy, praise the Lord, four men stepped up and invited me to go out fishing. Took me out fishing, and others have stepped up. We have plans in the works and are preparing to go. But the four men stepped up, and let me tell you, what an absolute blessing. Yes, a blessing to get to go fishing. Yes, a blessing to catch some wild Northwoods walleye, and then even better to get to eat them. But better than all of that is some male bonding time. Just getting together with guys and spending time in creation, happens to be pursuing fish, but male bonding, so valuable. Relationships, fishing buddies, going into the boundary waters. We live here in Ely on the edge of the boundary waters, one of the most visited, the most unique and special places in all of the world. And it's a joy and a blessing to get to go out there and enjoy that together, to build relationships, to have fishing buddies that you can turn to and trust and spend time together, just growing and maturing and developing. When Teresa and the kids were gone a couple weeks ago, helping Emily move out of college and back to Illinois to establish her residency there, or maintain her residency there in Illinois, several of you called me up and invited me over and had me to your wonderful and beautiful homes for meals and suppers and just some fellowship time. And I want to say thank you. It's such a joy to spend time with you, to get to know you and to build our relationships, to spend time together. Friends are important. Relationships are vital in our lives. We're built for relationships. We're built to be together. And one thing that COVID has taught us is that we are better together than we are alone. We all need a fishing buddy. We need that real, R-E-E-L, relationship, or you can spell it R-E-A-L if fishing isn't your thing. You can have a real relationship with someone. We all need someone. We need lots of someone's, an old dear friend of mine in my first church named Tali. Tali said that 1,000 friends isn't enough and one enemy is too many. And those are some wise words. We all need relationships, real and authentic relationships. Friends, true and genuine authentic relationships. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, is a recipe for real relationships. And we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, you may say, Ecclesiastes, I've never even heard of that one. Well, trust me, it is a book, and it is right there in the middle of your Bible. If you open up to the smack dab in the center, most likely you will hit the book of Psalms. And if you go toward the back of the book, you'll go through Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. And that's where we're going to be at today, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 9. So get your Bible, open up your smartphone or your tablet or whatever. Hopefully you've got an actual like leather-bound Bible with some worn-out pages from your years of reading. But if you're just joining us and you don't own a Bible, let not your heart be troubled. You can go to your smart device and download a free app called the YouVersion, Y-O-U. Download YouVersion, and then when you go to it, download or get the translation called the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. And that's the one I preach from. So then you can follow along each week. So either way, get your copy of God's Word as I kind of set the stage for the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, it's fairly well recognized that the book was written by King Solomon late in his life. There's a little bit of disagreement on possibly who could have written it, but pretty much all the arrows point pretty clearly to King Solomon. So we will go from that direction, that King Solomon wrote this late in his life, being the wisest man that's ever lived, and having lived both as a sold out servant of the God Most High, and then being lured away by so many wives and their pagan gods, and beginning to follow them and their false gods, and making offerings to them, and pursuing pleasure and wealth and all the worldly things that God had warned against and cautioned against. And so Solomon had lived both ways. And late in his life, he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book of wisdom. It's one of the wisdom books. And there's two main characters in it, which I believe are the same person, King Solomon as the author. And then there's the teacher or the preacher that speaks throughout the majority of the book. And again, I think it's the same person as Solomon is explaining to his readers, his children, his subjects, and generations down the line, that all of life is vanity. It's like smoke. The Hebrew word means like a vapor. You can't capture it. It's there and then it's gone. It's blowing in the wind. And so to pursue all of life's pleasures mean nothing. And the only thing that is true and genuine and solid is God and His righteous judgment there at the end of days. And so know that the book of Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book that is spoken from the wisest man in the world at the end of his life, as he cautions you and I to live for God, not for the things of this world, that those things perish and they pass away, and that only God is eternal. So in this book of wisdom, we come to the fourth chapter. It's very similar to Proverbs in a lot of ways. There's many different statements of wise and true sayings throughout it. It's poetic. It's beautiful. It can be heartbreaking to read. But anyway, we jump into chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. And this is a fairly well-known passage. At least verse 12 will be well-known. So join me as I read God's Word, and we'll follow along here together. The author of Ecclesiastes writes, and he says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. And if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." Join me in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I'm thankful for the chance to be together with my church family, my friends and family from all across this country. And Lord, I pray that you will take your word and your message, and you will speak it through me this day. Lord, I ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, that we can clearly understand you and your word and your meaning and how it is that we can be better together, knowing you and knowing each other for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom against the darkness that's all around us. So, Father, be glorified through me this day and through us and in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The point to today's message is that everyone, anyone out there can have a real relationship if you follow this biblical recipe that we're about to go through here today. So the first ingredient in today's recipe is that you need to recognize. You got to recognize. Look at verse 9, back at verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Now, I was able to go last week for a quick Boundary Waters trip, shortened it a little bit, went a day early, and got back a couple days early because of the whole reopening deal starting on the 14th. There's a lot of work to be done and pieces of the puzzle to be put together, but was able to get out into the wilderness and spend some time in a canoe on the water, fishing and camping and enjoying God's creation and the amazing gift that is the pure and pristine Boundary Waters. And thankfully, those giant smallmouth bass that live out there in those Boundary Waters. And on this trip, there were three of us that went out. And so what we did was we had one tandem canoe with two people in it, and then myself in a solo canoe. Now, you've heard me talk about solo canoeing, and I love solo canoeing, but know that, especially on a trip like this that was marked by a lot of wind, one of the things about a solo canoe is, boy, if you stop paddling for a second, if you dare to look down at your map or take a drink of water or whatever, you quit paddling, boy, the canoe comes to a screeching halt. The next thing, you're bobbing in the waves and blowing backwards and getting turned around, and suddenly there's rollers coming, and it's you've got to pay attention. You've got to know what you're doing and keep going. And so time, like this last trip was super neat to see the difference between tandem paddling, two paddlers taking care of each other and helping each other versus the solo paddling. Man, there's thunder going on and rumbling out there and rain and wind. It's great. It's good, good stuff. So verse 9 is cool. I really like verse 9. It says, rightfully so, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Now, know that in this passage, what he's really talking about is the fact that two laborers can accomplish more than one laborer. Now, my father has a lot of great sayings. Some of them came from his father and even his grandfather, and he's passed them on to me. And one of Dad's favorite sayings is that many hands make work light. And he's right. Boy, having helpers makes a big difference. And in this passage, two can accomplish more than one. Two people in 5 hours can do more than one person in 10 hours. And so two are better than one for their work, for their effort, for their labor. They have a good reward. They can make more money serving together and working together. But I think it also has another meaning. It means even more to me, and that is that not everybody is perfect. We all bring issues to our relationships. We all have our own idiosyncrasies. We have our own little struggles. Each one of us brings some sort of quirkiness to our relationships. And I think that another way to look at this passage is that in the midst of those quirks, in the midst of those little bitty things that each of us bring to our relationships that add struggle, that add confusion and complication, that if we put forth the effort to maintain that relationship, then we gain a great reward. It's not always easy to have a good relationship with people. We talked about that the last couple of weeks, but it is worth the effort. One of the greatest things about my wife, she has so many strengths and amazing characteristics, and I know I'm getting a bunch of amens from those of you that have gotten to know her during the short time that we've been able to be together, but one of her great things is that she can just very easily overlook all of anyone's little issues that they may have, which is great for me, because if I ever had any sort of like an issue or a quirk or whatever, then she could overlook it. But of course, you all know I don't. And so it works out well for now, and it will hopefully continue to work out in the future. I'm kidding. Teresa can just simply overlook that stuff. And honestly, it's a struggle for me. I strive for perfection, and it's just an ongoing issue to not hope and expect that from others. And I learn a lot from Teresa. And speaking of Teresa, she's an introvert. She appreciates quiet and alone and people. She likes people, but after a while they drain her. That's what an introvert is like. But during this shutdown and distancing deal, she is absolutely ready to get back together. In fact, craving and hungering after relationships, after people and seeing people. She is very much ready. And I've heard the same from so many other introverts. They've had enough alone time, ready to get back together. The first ingredient in having a real relationship with people, having a fishing buddy by our side, is that you got to recognize that two are better than one, that it's not always easy, but we have great rewards for our efforts, close, real, authentic relationships. All right, the second ingredient in the recipe for real relationships is that you have to be ready and reliable. Look at the next verse. Verse 10 says, For if either falls, his companion can lift him up, but pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Now, I like solo paddling. I've mentioned that. I like solo hiking. I like being in the woods by myself, being on the water by myself. But honestly, at times, it can be a little bit freaky. When you're paddling, or when I'm paddling out in the middle of a very large lake, and it's a ways to the bank either way, and maybe the wind is blowing and there's some good rollers, and then suddenly you come upon a log just under the surface of the water, and maybe bump that log, or there's a rock sticking up out of the deep abyss, and you're far from shore, and the wind is blowing, it can be a little bit freaky. Maybe you're on the top of a mountain, you're on the side of a cliff, and the trail is real precarious, and you're all by yourself, and you realize, man, if I stubbed my toe and tripped and stumbled right here, they might not even find my body. I like solo, but at times, honestly, it can be a little bit freaky. So one of the greatest benefits to having a fishing buddy by your side, one of the best benefits to having a real relationship in your life, is having someone simply to be there with you. In chaplaincy, it's called the ministry of presence. Simply having someone by your side, ready and reliable, to help you when you fall, to help you when you have trouble, have an issue, ready to encourage you during those difficult times. It's great. It's peaceful. It brings security when I have a buddy, another solo canoe, a tandem canoe with a couple of people, another hiker somewhere in front or behind or maybe right there with me in case I would fall, to lift me up. If heaven forbid you would dump and in a bad situation, it can be life-saving to have someone there by your side. Each of us, you and I, we're better together. We need someone in our life that can be there when tragedy strikes, when things go wrong, to be ready to help and reliable. That we can count on each other. We can count on that person. You and I need to be ready and reliable, able to help others, and we need to expect that same thing from from each other. That's part of what it's like to have a fishing buddy in our life, a real relationship. All right, the third ingredient that we need to have a real relationship with others is that we need to be radiant. You got to radiate. Look at verse 11. You're going to love this one. Verse 11, it says, also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? All right, in order to be in a real relationship, you have to, one, have a pulse, and two, have some body heat. 98.6 degrees, or at least very close to that. Heaven forbid you'd be at 100 degrees or more because, whoa, stop. That means you might potentially have a COVID and you need to stay away. We don't want those kinds of relationships. Stay back. But we need a body temperature that's very close to 98.6 degrees to be in a good and right relationship with each other. We need to radiate some heat. If you've ever been out in a day like today and you're outside, rain gear, waterproof, it's a lie. It means water resistant for a temporary amount of time. Some keep water out a little bit longer than others, but nothing is truly waterproof. Everything leaks. It soaks through and it saturates after a while, especially waterproof footwear. Boy, there's just no such thing. If nothing else, it runs down your legs and inside your footwear, and then it means that it's water resistant to drying, taking forever to dry. But when you've been out on a day like this and it's wet and cold and windy, let me tell you, we sometimes need some body heat to get warm. There's great benefit in that. And so what happens at fishing camp stays at fishing camp. Okay. I got to be clear. I am not advocating or recommending or saying that if you want to be my fishing buddy, then you need to be willing to share body heat. I'm only kidding. That's not what I'm talking about. But in all honesty, many lives have been saved by travelers sharing body heat. Back in the day when this was written, it was common for travelers to sleep together, to sleep close to each other in small spaces, and honestly, truly share body heat. Fires and other types of warmth weren't necessarily always available, and cold winter nights, it was not uncommon for people to lie down together, to share body heat. I run hot and my wife runs cold, and so she loves to snuggle up next to me and get warm. She calls me her furnace, and so I've got the blankets off me and she's like underneath them and snuggled up. Two can keep each other warm. It was not uncommon for travelers to sleep together and keep each other warm. But lots of lives in an emergency situation, lives have been saved by sharing body heat. One dry sleeping bag, one hypothermic person, two people get in the sleeping bag together, and literally you can save the life of that person that's in danger, that's in trouble. When you are in trouble, when you have an issue, hypothermia, or just simply in life, child going wrong, problems, pain, loss of job, loss of family member, sickness, whatever issue may come along, there's nothing quite as reassuring as having that fishing buddy come along and get your back. That real relationship that you're in, taking care of you, helping and caring for you and caring for your well-being. Now, the big question, I guess, that we all have to ask is, how do we get that? It sounds good, preacher. I like the idea of that. I want a fishing buddy in my life, but how do I get that? Well, we all want to know the answer to that question, but I think maybe the simplest answer that I can give is that you have to be that. What you want from others, you need to then be for others. We need to be that before we expect that from others. And I know for me personally, that's a struggle. I want that from folks so then I can reciprocate. And it doesn't always work that way. So I think the challenge is we need to be that for each other before we ever expect that. So we need to be radiant, radiate heat, support each other, encourage each other, come alongside each other in times of trouble. The final ingredient in today's recipe is that we need to be resilient and righteous. Look at the last verse for today, verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." We spent a lot of time talking about the fact that we are never alone, that we are better together. Most importantly, that God is always with us, that we have a Lord that knows us and cares about us, and that we are absolutely never alone, because alone is bad. Alone is dangerous. When we're alone, we're weak and we're vulnerable. And the enemy whispers into our ears that we are worthless and nobody loves us. And as he erodes our faith and distracts us, he can then lure us and lead us anywhere he wants to go. We know that alone is bad. We are weak and vulnerable, and that all of us are easily deceived. We're easily lured away. We're easily overpowered by the lies of the enemy. We're overpowered and duped by sin and the world and even life itself. And so being in a real relationship with others can be ugly. It can be difficult, but you and I, we need to be resilient. We need to be flexible. We need to be and expect that same resilience in our relationships and from our relationships, like two cords, like two pieces of rope, flexible and stretchable and moldable, able to wrap around each other and be stronger together than we ever could be alone. And part of that is just simply being resilient, able to move and bend and flex with the trying times that all of us will face. And hopefully that doesn't mean having a real relationship, a close relationship with someone that's so demanding that they drag you down, but being flexible to come along when someone is truly hurting temporarily and walking through that stage of life with them together, like two strands sticking together, wrapping around and stronger together. Now, if you're watching this today and you have come to the point in your life when you realized that you are a sinner, that you have broken God's absolute perfect laws, that you've rebelled against God's perfect ways, and you've realized that you're a sinner and that Jesus came to save you from your sin, that he lived a perfect, sinless life in your place that you never could on your own. And then you came to the point where you cried out and called out to the name of Jesus, asked him to forgive you of your sins. You turned away from that old life and now have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus and are obediently walking with and following the Lord. Then that means you are a disciple of Jesus. And that is awesome. I am too. Let's do this whole thing together. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you realize that his life, death, and resurrection has offered you the gift of God's grace simply through your faith and your faith alone, then you're a disciple. And if you are a disciple, then you need to not only be resilient in your relationships, but you also need to be righteous. Right before God, right before your friends, right in your relationships. You need to be purposeful as a disciple to help your relationships also learn to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple and to make other disciples, other followers of Jesus, helping them and encouraging them along their path. You need to live righteous and be righteous in those relationships. You need to live like Jesus. You need to be Jesus to them and for them and with them, helping them to follow and know what it's like to be Jesus. You need to be in a real relationship with them and introduce the Lord into that two-stranded cord and suddenly now make it into three strands. You and your relationship, your fishing buddy, that real relationship and then with the Lord. Now, three strands so much stronger than two, so much stronger than one. As a disciple, your and my, our jobs are to bring Jesus into the equation, bring the Lord into our relationships, and suddenly now, with the cord of three strands, bringing our other relationships into the fold, the flock of Jesus, we are so much stronger together, so much better together, make those relationships about Jesus. That's what being a disciple is all about. We're better together. It's best to have real relationships. Everybody needs a fishing buddy. We need someone to bond with, to be true with, someone that we can be honest with and that will speak truth and honesty into our own lives. We need authentic relationships in our life, real relationships. Now, your spiritual oversight team and myself have been working hard since I came in early December, and we've spent a lot of time in prayer and in scripture and devotion studying who is Ledgerock and who is our community. What are our strengths here at Ledgerock, and what are the needs out there in the community, and how can we be the best church we can be while ministering to the needs out there in Ely and all across the world? And one of the strengths we've identified here at Ledgerock is that we are a very relational church. A lot of you, I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We are good at building relationships and being true to each other. The warmth of you all is great. It's better than I could ever have hoped for. And so the deal is that our strength here is building relationships. And we've also identified one of the greatest needs in our community in this day that we live in are authentic relationships. People are hungry for relationships. They don't come to church, especially like a place like Ledgerock Community Church, because of our theology. They come because of the people. They come because of the relationships they either have or hope to build. And so we want to capitalize on our relationships that we build along with the need that is out there in the community. And so we've established the vision for our church. What is Ledgerock all about? Who are we and what are we doing? And we've made it as simple as we possibly could. And that is just simply two words. We are about building relationships with Jesus, the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and building relationships with each other. That's what we are all about. And then our mission stays the same, to know and grow and serve and go, but we've tweaked it just a little bit considering the relational vision that we have, and that is to know the Lord and to know each other, and then to grow in our relationship with the Lord and to grow in our relationship with each other. The third point to our mission is to serve. We want to serve the Lord, but not alone, not as a lone ranger, but together, serving the Lord together in and through the local church. And the final point to our mission is to go. We're going to go and take the name of Jesus all across the world and right here at home, but not alone. We're going to do it together. A very relational idea. Now, our discipleship process, we're called by Jesus to make disciples. That's the number one thing that we are all about and we are commanded to do is make disciples, help people to follow Jesus. And so what we've identified as the best way, the simplest way, maybe the most relational way to do that is to do it together in a relational manner, investing in each other. And so the new structure here at the church, my job is to lead the leaders. I'm to mentor and love and disciple and direct your leaders, the spiritual oversight team, to communicate and care for them. And their job is to disciple and direct and care and communicate with all the other leaders, the ministry leaders throughout the church, all the different ministries and missions of the church. And then the ministry leaders' jobs are to disciple and direct and care and communicate with all the team members, all those that are part of that team. That's their job. And then they are to love and care for each other and know each other. And then those folks are to look for other people to come alongside and serve the church and serve the Lord as a part of a team, doing it together in a very relational way, directing and discipling and caring and communicating with all the rest of the church, raising up new leaders and bringing people along. That's our discipleship process. Now, the other way that we've deemed the best way for us, considering our facilities and our time and our strengths and our weaknesses, to make disciples is to use that small group model. We're going to call them life groups, but discipling people is our number one priority here at Ledge Rock Community Church. If we're not making disciples, then we're failing the Lord. And so we need to do that, and we want to do that in a relational way. And the number one way to do that is in people's homes, in a small group setting where we know and love each other, care for and minister to each other. And so we're going to do that in a life group manner, focusing very much on growing leaders, promoting those groups, having groups for everyone that meet in all different places at all different times, all throughout the week, all throughout the year, growing and loving the Lord, serving together, knowing each other in this life group type mentality. That's a quick snapshot of the work we've been doing over the last months, some of the great decisions we've come to, some of the work that the Lord is doing in our lives and whatever. It's just, there's a quick snapshot. Lots more information to come. Every week, I'm sure we'll be talking about some element of the quick overview of what I just gave you, but it's an exciting time. The moral of this whole story is that you and I were created for relationships. We're created to, one, have a relationship with the Lord. God created us to know and love and serve and worship Him. And then we're created to have relationships with each other. Everyone is better together. We are better when we have a buddy. We're weak when we're alone. We're stronger when we're together, especially when we are a cord of three strands together, you and I, with the Lord Jesus binding us together. Nothing can break us. Nothing can separate us. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I'm thankful that you have seen fit to call us to know each other and even better to know you. And I pray that you will continue to grow and foster relationships in this church family and then throughout our community and ultimately all over the world. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for this idea that is yours. And I pray that you will meet our needs, you'll hear our hearts' cries, and you will help each one of us to build better and stronger relationships with each other. And we look forward to those new relationships that are just around the corner. So Lord, please forgive us for our sins and prepare us to know you and experience you in an ever greater way each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and for who you are. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I promised at the beginning of today's message, I've got some information that I need to share with you, got some announcements. So hopefully you've stayed tuned and joined in here with us and are ready for some of the announcements. So briefly, your spiritual oversight team, along with our moderator, Kevin Gustafson, and the trustees have asked me to continue to make this announcement to you that while we were shut down, we have had a lot of work going on here at the church. Some beautification, some updates, some bringing the building up to code, and some of the projects that we have started or that have been begun will cost more than $1,000. And so our constitution currently binds us to need a congregational vote for anything that's over $1,000. One of the needs that's come up is to re-roof the parsonage roof, which I believe will cost about $6,500. Now, thankfully, the church roof is done and it came a couple thousand dollars under budget. So that will help offset that cost. But know that there's projects going on. There's some vision being cast, some great stuff in the works. And what we need to do is explain to you a little bit about what's going on and then get your approval. So next Sunday morning, June 14th, that Sunday, we are going to meet in person here at Ledge Rock. We'll continue to live stream, but we're also going to meet. And during that, the two different worship services that we're going to have, we will have a very quick, very, very simple explanation, and then just ask for a simple yes to be able to approve this and move forward with the work that we have deemed needed to be done and necessary. And by the way, thank you very, very much for your unbelievable financial support through this weird time. We are ahead in our budget. Please don't retract your giving, but thank you for your faithfulness and your gifts. God is very good and He has blessed us, and we want to honor Him in taking care of our worship facilities. All right, let's talk about next Sunday real quick. So first and foremost, I want you to know that our witness in our community is possibly our greatest concern at this time. We want to make sure that every decision we make here at Ledge Rock is a decision that nobody can refute, that the community can't say, look at you guys, you're being cavalier and renegades with this whole shutdown and COVID type situation. So with that in mind, we have tried to deem through the Lord's guidance and through His direction what our best steps are. And that is, let me read this. The goal is to be as safe as possible through generally accepted public health measures without forgoing the public worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, we're going to have two abbreviated services. Again, June 14th, 1 week from today, Sunday morning, two services, one at 9:30 and one at 11 o'clock. Now know that we will have a limited number of seats available, keeping a percentage of our auditorium's capacity in mind, that we will then ask for a sign up for one of the two different services. We will forego all other activities. We will not have childcare, no nursery, no after worship fellowship. Those things will not happen for a while. We will reevaluate continually what we can do. We'll continue to live stream. We will have intensive, thorough cleaning procedures before worship, during worship, between the services, and then after worship. Know that we have a full-blown procedure to make sure that everyone stays safe and healthy during this time. You will have ushers that will come and seat family groups in a social distancing manner, skipping pews, maintaining distance from each other in the sanctuary. Now, the process for signing up, Chris has put together a system for us to sign up. What we need to do is ask you to go to our website, ledgerockchurch.com, and there you will find a link to be able to sign up for one of the two services, 9:30 or 11. The idea for signing up is that we can balance out the numbers. What we don't want to have is 70 in one service and 20 in another service. We'd like to keep those as balanced as possible. So know that we may ask some of you to move from one service to the other. We'll have to work that out the best we can. Know that this is the best answer we could come up with for the weird and crazy times that we live in. Also, look for an email later on today that will contain some of the same information, as well as a link that will allow you to sign up there. Pay attention to the directions, because I've been told that there's a couple things you've got to know as you go to sign up. But once you've signed up, it'll be easier in the future. And I see this as a very temporary thing, that it won't be too long before we're able to get back together fully, all of us together in one service, and we look forward to that day. However, I'm greatly looking forward to next Sunday. Greatly looking forward. All right, if you are not comfortable coming, we very much understand that. I encourage you to stay home. You will not be judged. You'll not be looked down upon. If you have any symptoms of any kind of illness, if you have any possible exposure to this virus, you absolutely must stay home. Please do not come and endanger us or anyone else in our community by coming. If you have any symptoms or any possible exposure, please stay home. It'll pass. You'll be able to come and join us soon. So we look forward to that day. For now, please, if that's you, stay home. Do a personal checkup before you come. Take your temperature. If it's elevated at all, please stay home. Please take care of hygiene. Wash your hands. Be clean and ready to go when you come here. Okay, masks are optional. If you have a mask and want to wear it, certainly bring it. They're not going to be required. However, we will certainly accept them. Hand sanitizer is in short supply. If you have your own hand sanitizer, bring it along. Make sure that you are able to use it and use it when you want. We will have some here and some will be available, although we will have lots and lots of cleaning processes in place. Every surface will be taken care of. Doors will be opened. We won't be passing anything. So you may not even need it, but bring what you want to come. Please, no congregating in the facilities. We're going to ask people to come, to gather, to worship, and then to leave, to go back outside so we can clean and get ready for the next group of people to come. And then one final thing, I want to ask each of you to be in prayer this week. What can you do during this time? Be in prayer. Be in prayer for each other, for your church family, for your community. Be in prayer for your leaders as well as myself. This has been a difficult time for all of us. Lots of prayerful discussion and decisions having to be made, and know that we are doing the best we can with the information we have available, and that our witness is primary, your safety is primary, underneath the greatest of all being the worship of our resurrected Lord Jesus, because He is worthy. So hopefully that makes sense. Comment down below. You're looking forward to coming. Whatever you're going to do, we're going to keep the live stream up for a few minutes. Again, look for the email coming soon. Thank you. Take care and God bless.